Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Grace Point Church. And if we could we welcome everybody here sitting beside you, shake hands, greet. We in a new series called Developing Outstanding Relationships. The first week we did love. The second week we did the power of patience. And this week we're going to do bringing out the best in others. I think Kevin asked me to do this to challenge me to see if he could bring out the best in me. And I'm feeling very challenged right now. The Bible verse for today, is build one another up every day. Do it as long as there is time. And if you would, let's open with a prayer and get this thing going. Father, thank you that we can gather here this morning, hear the word preached, and sing the songs that we sing. Help us to take what we learn here and bring it out into the world next week and come back again for the following Sunday. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now, how many of you have ever taken some type of music lessons? We have a lot of folks up here. I guess the band has taken some music. Have any of you ever taken music lessons? Some? Okay. All right. Very good. How many about have ever taken any swimming lessons? I can swim, but oh, really? Well, good for you. I swim and drown. You don't, right? You know what to do. How about golf lessons? Any golfers here? Have any lessons for golf? Okay. Got a few of them out there. How about dancing lessons? Anybody have dancing lessons? I've had some dancing lessons with Libby. I'll just leave it at that. I had some dancing lessons with Libby, and she had sore feet afterwards. But anybody have any cooking lessons? Ever take any cooking lessons? Been trained to cook? Some. I enjoy cooking. It's a lot of fun for me. Any horseback riding lessons? Ever had that? None. A couple of you. Very good. All right. And last but not least, how many of you have ever had any underwater basket weaving lessons? Yeah. No. Yeah. You get the idea. Our society believes in continuing education. We like to learn new things and continue on to keep our minds, our bodies healthy and challenged. But there's one area that most of us have never had any public formal training in, and yet it's the most important area of all, and that is relationships. People don't typically train us how to relate to other people. We kind of find it on our own. Sometimes we fumble around with it. But that's one of the reasons we're doing this series, Developing Outstanding Relationships, so we can learn biblically and practically how to have good relationships with other people. Specifically, Terry said earlier, we're going to be talking about bringing out the best in others. Last week we talked about love is patient. Now we're going to be talking about the fact that love is kind. Look, if you have your outlines, take them out and follow along as we go through this. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it's really simple. Love is kind. Now, what does that mean? The Phillips translation to that verse says this: love looks for a way of being constructive. Circle those words, underline those words, being constructive. Love looks for a way of improving somebody else's life. It builds people up. Love is kind, and kindness is love in action. Kindness is when you put action to your love. Kindness is love in action. So today I want to talk about how to be a people builder. Paul put it this way in Romans 15:2. He said, we should consider the good of our neighbor and help build up his or her character. We should consider the good of our neighbor and help build up their character. How do I build people up? How do I do that? So this morning, this message is for all of us. You may be a teacher, a parent, husband, wife, a friend, a student. You may have business partners that are all around you a lot. All of us have people around us that we can build up, that we can bring the best out in them. So I want to talk about the ways to do that. How do we be kind to people? How do we show our love to people? How do we build people up? Four things I want to share with you. Number one, if you want to build somebody up, you need to give them a personal challenge. Give them a personal challenge. Look what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He said, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Listen to what he's saying there. You have a calling. All believers have a calling to build other people up. And Paul is saying, hey, you need to make your life count by making other people count as well. He's challenging the church at Ephesus. He's saying, don't waste your life. Be all that God wants you to be. Why? Because we all need a cause, we need a project, we need a dream that calls forth the best in other people's lives. Do you know why we can send people to the moon? Because back on May 25th of 1961, President John F. Kennedy delivered a challenge to our nation. Here's what he said. I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth. That was the challenge. You say, it's no big deal because we live on this side of, you know, the space shuttle. We have people, we have machines, we have places to go to, even as far as Mars. So this doesn't sound too challenging. But back then, they never did this before. It was, people thought he was crazy. Thought he was nuts. But he had a dream to challenge people to be the best they could be. He gave the nation a challenge, and we came through. For 12 years, the Green Bay Packers professional football team won only 30% of their games. In 1958, their season record was 1-10. 1-10. Along came a guy named, ever heard of Vince Lombardi? Yeah. He was a people builder. During the next 9 years, the Packers under Lombardi had 9 winning seasons. They beat their opponents 75% of the time, and they walked away with 5 national championships, including the first 2 Super Bowls. He turned a losing team into a winning team. How did he do that? Lombardi knew how to bring out the best in people by issuing to them personal challenges to each player and to the team as a whole. And in so doing, he was bringing out the best in them. Lombardi knew he could get an extra 10% out of an individual by constantly challenging that individual and members of his team. Now, folks, we all know that there's more to life than just living for ourselves. If that's all we ever do, we're going to be miserable because God didn't design us that way. We need to have a cause, a reason, a purpose that I'm here for, just other than taking up space and having my needs met. All of us need people in our lives who can inspire us to become the people we could be, not just the people that we currently are. There are people in your life for whom God wants you to become that person. There are people that God puts in your path for whom he wants you to be that individual's people builder. Who is it? Think, it doesn't have to be a family member. It doesn't have to be somebody in your small group. They may not even be a part of this church. Who does God want you to build up so you can bring out the best in them, to inspire them to be what God knows they could be through a personal challenge? Folks, we all need someone who will issue us a personal challenge, who will help us discover what we're good at, someone who will bring out the best in us, challenge us, make us feel good so we want to continue on in life, no matter what stage of life you're in. God wants you to help build other people up. And so we should offer challenges to people around us, helping them find out what it is that God wants them to do, what it is that God wants them to be. So on your outlines, I gave you a little chart there where you can decide how well you do at this particular point. So how well do you do? Do you bring out the best in others? Do you give them challenges? Maybe you've never done that before. You might be a one. Maybe you're halfway through. Maybe you're good at this. You're good at challenging your family members. You're good at challenging people you work with. You're good at challenging your neighbors. Give yourself a 10 or somewhere in between. If you're going to bring out the best in other people, you've got to give them a personal challenge. And when somebody gives you a personal challenge, don't be offended. Don't get all upset. You need to receive it. Hopefully they'll give it to you in love and in grace. You receive that challenge and you press on. Good enough? Number two, you can also give them complete confidence. You give them a personal challenge, then you need to give them some good confidence. Paul said this in Romans 15:2. We who are strong in the faith ought to help the weak, in order to build them up in the faith. Folks, we all need confidence. It gives you the courage to attempt and accomplish things. Now notice Paul. Paul wasn't bragging. He wasn't trying to put himself above anybody else when he wrote this. We who are strong in the faith. You need to know where you are in your faith. Are you a baby Christian? Have you been a Christian for a little while, a long while? Where are you in your faith? And even if you've been a Christian for decades, maybe still you're not really growing to be the person God wants you to be at that particular time. We come in and out of phases as we grow, don't we? I do. I'm sure all of us do. Paul said, we who are strong in the faith help the weak. We need to recognize when people are struggling. We need to recognize baby Christians who need us to help them move along as they mature in the faith. Give people confidence. We all need it. Jesus did this with Peter. Peter's name in the Greek is Petros, and it means pebble. Small, little, tiny pebble. But Jesus looked to Peter and he said, hey, pebble, one day you're going to be a rock. Jesus said, I'm giving you a new name. I'm confident, Peter, that you're going to change. No longer pebble, you're going to be a rock. Now, when Jesus said that to Peter, Peter was anything but a rock. He was Mr. Impulsive, Mr. Foot in Mouth. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to be a rock. Jesus didn't tell him what he was. Jesus told him what he could be. That's looking at somebody's potential. That's building confidence in somebody. Here's where you may be, but here's where you could be. Here's where you might be. Here's where you can be. Folks, whenever you label somebody, you reinforce what they are. Lazy, unorganized, that problem with their temper. You tell people more of what they can be, what they could be. You build them up. One time in the Old Testament, God said to a man, name was Gideon. Gideon was supposed to be a great guy, a great leader, and he was hiding from the enemy army in the bottom of a grape presser down in the ground where he was threshing the grain. Do you hear that? The war's going out over here. The army's up out here. He knows he's marked. What does he do? He goes down different levels, literally down into the earth to hide. That's the guy I want. Lead me on. How's it going down there? Gideon was a wimp. And yet God said to him, Gideon, you are a mighty man of courage. When at that time, he was anything but courageous. God said, this is what I see in you. This is what you can become, a mighty man of courage. He was giving Gideon confidence. He was encouraging him, not majoring on the minors, but saying, here's where you could be one day. Paul put it this way. Look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul said, encourage one another and build each other up. This is talking about the power of affirmation. Folks, if you're going to be a people builder, you've got to be good at encouraging others. Ken Blanchard, who wrote The One Minute Manager, said this, catch people doing something right and then praise them for it. Right? People catch us doing something wrong all the time. He said, no, change it. Catch people doing something right and then talk to them about it. Praise them, lift them up. Folks, we all need encouragement. Would you agree with that? We all need encouragement. At an annual sales conference, when the award was presented to the Outstanding Salesperson of the Year, the woman who had performed spectacularly the year gave all the credit to her sales manager. She stood up before 63,000 people, and she talked about the slump she had been in for 2 years as a salesperson. She said the future looked bleak. She was ready to give in and to resign. She thought she probably was going to be fired. She tried to quit several times. How do you try and quit? Boss man, boss lady, here's my resignation. No, I'm not. You're not quitting now. Her supervisor wouldn't let her quit. Now she's the number one salesperson in the entire country for that particular business. Her voice cracked and she related the story. All those months I wanted to quit, and I didn't think I had a future. But someone believed in me more than I believed in myself. My manager wanted me to succeed even more than I did. And because of that, she did succeed. Who can say that about you? That you believe in them more than they believe in themselves. That you want them to succeed more than they want to succeed. Folks, if you want to be a people builder, you've got to give people a challenge, and then you've got to say, I know you can do it. Whether you're working with children, adults, teens, people you work with, people in your family, people you hang with. I know you can do it. So let me give you some suggestions on giving encouragement to people, okay? Number one, when you encourage people, it needs to be real. It needs to be from the heart, not some kind of phony manipulation. It needs to be sincere, genuine, and real. Libby and I were in the grocery store last night, and we got separated, and I went one way, and she went another way. And where I went, there was a gentleman there pushing a cart, had kind of drabby clothes on, and then I love the hat he wore because it was a hat that showed he was a veteran. And I just went up to him. I didn't know him. He didn't know me from anyone. And I said, sir, were you a veteran? He said, yes. Were you? I said, no, my dad was and my son was, but I missed it. I said, where did you serve? And he told me where he served. And after he told me his story, put my arm on his shoulder. And I just said, thank you. And you should have seen his face light up. It made his day. A little thing. It was from my heart. It was real, and he knew it. And he just looked at me and said, "Thank you." Parted ways. If you give encouragement to others, you need to make sure it's real, not phony, from your heart, and you'll see how much that kind of encouragement will bless other people. It needs to be real. Secondly, it needs to be regular. Needs to be regular. No, we take medicines that make us regular, right? Yeah, I know. You need to be you need to be, come on now. You're laughing because you know it's you. Eat your greens, you'll be all right. Don't be stingy with your encouragement. Give it all the time that you can. Be regular in encouraging everybody. All the time, no matter where you are, the waitress, the waiter, the Uber driver, the server, the cashier, regularly encourage other people. Make it real, make it regular, and number three, it needs to be recognizable. If it's to be effective, you need to be precise. The more you are in encouraging people, the greater the impact it has on them and the more power it packs. Don't say to the waiter or whatever, the cook who cooked it, "I enjoyed the meal." That's general. "Hey, these were the best mashed potatoes I've ever had, and here's why." I rarely had any mashed potatoes I didn't think were good. Don't say you did a good job. Say, "You know what? I thought it was great the way you handled that cranky customer with class and tact. You maintained your cool under pressure." Don't say it was a good article. Say, "Man, I really noticed that your thoughts were organized and they were in order." Get specific when you encourage people. Okay? Does that make sense? Anybody can say, "Hey, you look good," or anybody can say, "You've done good." Get specific. And if you're specific, then you don't run into the potential issue of giving somebody a compliment and they're wondering if it was a compliment or not. You ever had one of those compliments? You didn't know if it was a compliment or not? A little boy said to the pastor, "Pastor, you were really full of it today." I had one lady say to me, "When you speak, I think he's never going to get better." How do I? Good thing I'm not a crier. Some guy said, "I think you are the model pastor." I went home and looked up the word "model." It says a cheap plastic imitation of the real thing. A guy said, "Pastor, your sermons are like water to a drowning man." Mm-mm-mm. Another guy who started falling asleep during the service afterwards said, "I'm sure you noticed that my eyes were closed, but I want you to know that I didn't miss a thing." Be careful how you encourage people. Get specific. Make it positive. So under number two, rate yourself. How do you do there? You've got another place you can just say, "Hey, I do well, not so well, room for improvement. I'm really good at this." Give yourself a rating. Number three, give people honest counsel. There's no progress without learning. There's no learning without feedback. We all need honest feedback. None of us are perfect. Our perception sometimes gets off base, and we need people to say, "You're off base. You're wrong. You're a little too far over here. You're rethinking this. You're not thinking it in a good way." All of us need occasional correction. And when people correct us in love, don't become defensive. Just take it. Get all you can from it. Learn from it, and then move on. Look at Proverbs 27:17. "People learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron." Folks, a real friend's going to tell you when you're getting ready to make a mistake. A real friend's going to level with you. They're going to care enough to correct you. They'll lay it on the line for you, even if it's painful. They're going to let you know what's what. I think you're off base. You're wasting your life. You missed it here. You can change this. You can fix that. Look at Proverbs 24, 26. An honest answer is the sign of true friendship. If you get an honest answer, even if it hurts, if it's painful, if it causes you to question or to wonder, realize they're doing it. They're giving that to you for your benefit, folks. Correction is very powerful. It can be done in ways that tear people down or in ways that build people up. That's how you want to give honest counsel to someone, so it builds them up. So you need to make sure your attitude is right. You need to make sure you're not just going to give a dig at them because of something they did to you a month ago. If your attitude is, I'm going to point this out, I'm going to share with them this weakness in their life just to point it out, no. Just don't even do it. People don't always need to have their points, their faults pointed out. The purpose of pointing it out isn't to condemn somebody, but to correct somebody, to help them make a change in their behavior, in their minds. So you need to ask yourself, what's my motive for doing this? Why am I doing this? How do you do it for the right motive? Paul said it this way in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth how? In love. You got to have that attitude. Love means giving the person what they need, not always what they deserve. The motive has got not to be to condemn, but to correct. You speak the truth in love. How do you do that? You affirm the person, you correct the behavior. Whether it's a friend, family member, whoever it is, you affirm the person, make sure you affirm them, and then you correct the behavior. All right? Speak the truth in love. Rate yourself on this one, 1 to 10. How am I doing at correcting without condemning? And then last, number 4, give them full credit. If you want to be a people builder, bring out the best in other people in your life. Give them full credit. Praise their growth. Praise the changes that you see in their life. Paul says in Romans 12:10, let us have real warm affection for each other and a willingness to let others have the credit. Man, if you have a breakthrough and you help somebody and all of that, and you're sitting back here just waiting to say, you know, get a good, nice thank you and way to go, attaboy. Forget all that. It doesn't matter a hill of beans who gets credit. If that's what you're living for, I have another sermon for you. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. Have warm, real, and warm affection for each other. Even if it means you let others have the credit when you knew maybe it was something that you did. Back in the poster days, how many of y'all had posters? Late high school, college days, yeah. Anybody else here have a Farrah Fawcett poster? Was it just me? All the guys, you're lying. Well, posters were very popular, I guess it's back in the 70s probably, 70s. And so eventually, the Christian business world decided to get in on it too, right? And there was a poster I had that said, God can do great things through the person who doesn't care who gets the credit. That's good stuff. One of the things that impressed me a long time ago now about a man named Norman Schwarzkopf in the Desert Storm operations was that he was constantly giving the credit away. He was always pointing to the guys out in the trenches, to those under his command, even to the president, Colin Powell, whomever. He was a genius. His IQ score was 170. He was a mastermind, and yet he was always giving the credit away to other people. How do you do that? How quickly do I share the credit to others? Usually we like to share the blame and keep the credit. God says, nope, the mark of maturity is to accept the blame if you're at blame and then to share the credit with others. Rate yourself on this one. How do you do about sharing the credit with other people? Now, when you look at these four things on how to be a people builder, give them a personal challenge, give them complete confidence, give them honest counsel and full credit, that's a lot to do. And yes, you won't always feel like doing it, but kindness always costs. And there's a price tag for people becoming a people builder. It requires effort and energy. It always costs to be kind. Most of it costs is unselfishness. It takes unselfishness to be a people builder. Many times we're caught up in our own way, our own thinking, just concerned about us. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves and on others. Look what the Bible writer says in Hebrews 10, 24. In response to all God has given for us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other. We should have a contest this week. Let's challenge each other to see who can be the most kind to the most people this entire week. And next Sunday, we'll take testimonies. Write them down. Hey, I was kind to 3 people. Well, I was kind to 12. Well, I was kind to 15. I was only kind to 1, but here's the big thing I did for them. Wouldn't that be great? And you wouldn't be coming back to brag. You'd be coming back to say, I did what God wanted me to do. And we'll all give God the thanks. The fact is, folks, God has been kind to us. He's been kind to me. He's been kind to you. In that verse, Hebrews 10:24, in response to all that God has done for us, let's outdo each other in being helpful and kind. Back when the first Christian church was forming, the Romans used to confuse the word Christos with the word Krestos. Christos means Christ. Krestos means kindness. And they would confuse those two. But isn't that the way it should be? When we're following Christ, we should be the most kind people there are. Imagine, folks, the impact that our church family could have if we would commit ourselves to being people builders. Everyone we come in contact with, we're going to try to bring out the best in them by sharing Christ with them, by sharing the good news with them, helping them grow, especially with strangers, people who are having a hard time. One of the reasons I think we need to show people kindness is because a lot of people around us are hurting, lonely. One of the ways you can be kind, I've already shared, is by inviting people to next Sunday or on Easter Sunday. We put more cards out for you. You want to be kind this week? Hand some of these out. On Easter Sunday, you want to be kind? I need 12 or 15, 16 of you to sit in the front pews. You want to show kindness? Come on up, sit in front. You're not comfortable there. It's not where you want to be. I get it. So be kind to others who need your seat and sit down front. Will you do that? Because I'll call you out if you won't. Nice. I don't even know who said that, but that was really good timing. Look at the last verse here, Proverbs 11, 17. You do yourself a favor when you're kind. The Bible says it even benefits you when you're kind to other people. The other translation I'm looking at says the kind man. The kind man brings benefits to himself. Let's pray together. God, you're always good to us. You are the epitome. You are the living definition of kindness. We've experienced your kindness in so many different ways. And I pray now, because love is kind, you'll help us to become more loving by being more consistently kind to anyone and everyone around us. Because, Lord, as we saw in that video, we're reminded that a lot of people are struggling in ways that we don't even know. We don't know the backstory. So help us to be kind to everyone because everyone needs it. Thank you that you've been kind to us by loving us unconditionally, by forgiving us of our sins, by giving us a purpose in life, by showing us how you want us to live. Father, give us a heart for others that will act kindly this week by inviting more people to Easter so they can hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Tell you a word of kindness. Thank you, folks, for being so kind this past week. Dad of 94 and a half years who passed away, and just so much kindness. Jason coming in. Text messages, Facebook, unbelievable. Thank you all so much for that. The funeral will be going on Tuesday, and we'll be celebrating his life. So coming up, the reason we can celebrate something like that is because of Easter. It's all because of what Jesus did. You see the little card that you guys have? There are people that out there that don't know about that grace and that love, and we need to be sharing it with them. A great way to do that is at Easter. And so invite folks to come out. I know the Easter lilies, you can still sign up for that as well. And Joe, is there any other thing that's going to pop up on the screen? I think that was it. But most importantly, just take those little cards. That is probably the kindest thing you can do this week, is to share those cards out there with folks. Invite them in. All right. He's with you. Share those cards and be kind. Be kind. All right. Lord, help us to truly bring out the best in others. Be a person who brings light and love and joy wherever we go. Bring kindness. Help us to do something kind this week and to tell nobody else about it, just to do it anonymously, to show love. We love you. We thank you now. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.